I'm a Lamborghini. I'm a Hollywood star. I'm a little bit tipsy when I drive my car. I'm expensive sushi.
Nick.
I'm a cute huge what?
What are you doing?
Washing my hands.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Oh, I gotta find myself moving everything around because this bitch didn't know what side of the studio she wanted to sit today.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom. I am your host, and of course, sitting with me is the one co-host that we have here today.
Hi, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And I suppose this is where we would say welcome you all to
The Dish.
As you know, Chris is empty seat over here. Chris is not here because he's still, you know, dealing with school and work and corona and all that stuff.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't have corona. I'm kidding. I don't know. We don't know, right? But yeah. And so Elsie is quarantined.
Don't say that.
She is. So she's not quarantined because she has corona. She's quarantined because she went out of the country. She traveled. And when she came back, work said, no, bitch, you got to quarantine for 14 days.
I cannot.
So they sent her home to work from home. I wish they sent me home, but I'm not that lucky. But yeah, so welcome back. Oh, by the way, it is our fourth year anniversary, or at least it was on March 7th, which is why we took the week off from you guys. We wanted to just sort of kind of relax and chillax and do all that
stuff. And I was quarantined.
Yeah, for other reasons. But yeah, 4 years.
Has it really been 4 years?
Yes, sir. We started March 7th of 2016.
And I've gotten one paycheck.
Yeah, she's about to get another one.
One paycheck.
She's about to get another one. But either way, it's been an incredible
And look,
ride.
I'm sorry, but I deserve more than him. I want more than him.
Okay.
This is not split equally.
But he's not here to defend himself.
I don't give a shit.
He's going to be like, meanwhile.
So I literally just called Chris because obviously we know school has been canceled and restaurants and bars are shut down.
As of 8 p.m. tonight,
right.
At least in the tri-state area, New mm-hmm. Jersey, New York, Connecticut.
Mass. But anyway, so he is going to be back with us next week, which is exciting. So we're still planning to do the show. But I told him over the phone, because I thought maybe he wasn't working, I was hoping he would be able to call in. And he was like, he can't call in. But I did tell him that he needs to completely sanitize himself. Otherwise, including his hair, otherwise I would light him up like a brand new sock.
So he said every single bit of hair, which is basically what you said.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back next week. He's going to join us. He'll be in studio. I'm super excited because we miss him. And we're going to have a good time as we always do. But mm-hmm. yes, I wanted to just take an opportunity to thank each and every single one of you who have stuck with us since day one. Those that have joined us recently. Mama Kim, and everyone that makes our...
Dr. G,
and Hans, although I hate that bitch sometimes, but I love her.
Same.
No, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for an amazing 4 years. And there's no signs of stopping us, so we're just going to keep going.
Yeah, the emails keep coming, so...
We'll keep broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm super excited too because we do have a guest today. David Martin is going to be our guest. He's going to mm-hmm. join us. He is a professional triathlon athlete. And also he's doing some great things with nutrition and hydration. And we're going to get into all of that on the second half of the show for you guys. And I'm super excited. He's very handsome. You'll see him in the pictures rotating in the back here somewhere at some point. But yeah, I'm excited. And so, Nicholas.
Yeah.
It's been almost 2 weeks since we last...
That's his bio, by the way. Oh. Sorry, I didn't send it. I like didn't send anything.
No,
his photos.
She's like, you know, give her a week off, and she's a big mess.
Oh my, well, it's been so weird because I'm working from home now, and I'm like, all like combobulated right now. I don't know what's going
on. I gotta read all this?
No, not
okay,
all of it.
I suppose. So he's a two-time USA Triathlon All-American, two-time USA Triathlon Team USA, finished 13th in division at the 2019 World Championships, 7 overall wins in the triathlon, senior coach for Full Throttle Endurance, and elite amateur triathlon team based out of New York City. I'm tired already. I'm sorry, but that's a lot. But he's going to tell us everything that he does, and we're going to have a great time with him.
Yeah, he's pretty much a badass.
Yeah, he is. He is.
And a friend of mine, so I'm excited to chat with him.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me toss it over your way. How have you been over the past 2 weeks?
So
let's talk about weekends or the weekends we're not going to have going forward because of the shutdown.
Yeah, it's crazy. Last week, we did take the week off, and then I actually ended up, I got a cold, a very mild cold, but, and so like I was barely working at all because they wouldn't let me come to work. And I'm like, guys, it's a cold. Like I'm sneezing. Like, that's it. And so I couldn't go to work pretty much all of last week. They finally let me come into work on Friday. And then on Friday, they decided that we are going to work from home probably for the next 14 days, which is great. And I'm totally supportive of it. But this is crazy. I mean, the theater is shut down. We completely canceled a production, right? And we're a nonprofit, and our budget is based on the fundraising that we have to do every year and our ticket sales. Now, that's almost $200,000 worth of ticket sales that we're losing.
That's an entire production. So it's just not 1, 2, 3 shows. The entire production.
Yeah, so that's 4 weeks worth of performances. Mm-hmm. So, and on top of that, like, it's just been crazy. But, like, and we're figuring it out as we go, and there are probably going to be programs in place for us to be okay and sustain. But, yeah, it's been interesting. And I actually was supposed to work on Friday, and I got called out, which I was fine with. I'm like, I don't want to go to the bar. And then I didn't do anything on Friday night or Saturday night. And everybody's like, you're crazy. Why aren't you going out? Like, you should go out and have a cocktail. I'm like,
well,
hell
no. She texted me first, and then she called me. She goes, like, what do you think I should do? I'm like, bitch, stay home. This is an opportunity to do what you've always wanted to do. Not work and do nothing. Just sit home and watch TV. Go for it.
Yeah. So I ended up staying home, but I had to actually go to work last night. The last night the bar was open, and I was a psychopath. My hands are so beaten up and red right now from washing them and cleaning. Every time somebody like came up to the bar, I would spray it down and wipe it, and I would only take money with gloves on.
Uh-huh.
I would only grab used glasses with gloves on. I would make drinks without my gloves on, but I was like,
She was going through it. She wasn't neurotic. She was just like batshit crazy about it. And
a bar is like the worst place you can be if there's something like this going on, because everybody's in close proximity. You lose your inhibitions, and then you're just, people are kind of all over each other. I mean, people were coming into the bar and hugging and kissing, and I'm like, what are you guys doing?
I know. It's like, So on Sunday nights, instead of being behind the bar.
And then some bitch, I'm still not over this, came up to the bar, ordered a drink. I made a drink and goes into her bra to pull out money for me. And I was like, no, I'm not. Like, you can have the drink. I am not taking your money. But unless you find another way to give me money, I was literally taking people's debit cards and dipping it in the sanitizer before and wiping it off before I like actually worked with them.
I don't blame you. So I went to 5 different stores yesterday looking for wipes. And the reason why I wanted them is because on Saturdays I bartend. So I ended up working Saturday. And then Sunday I run karaoke at the bar that we work at. And so I wanted sanitizing wipes to sanitize my microphones as I'm handing them out to people to prevent any type of transfer of bacteria, et cetera. Just being cautious because, you know, if I'm going to be in public, I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that we're being cautious about the whole thing. And so I couldn't find anything. I went to 3 pharmacies, 2 megastores, nothing. Anything with the word disinfectant in it was gone.
Yep.
Nothing available. And so the owner said to me, you know what? I've got a tub of wipes. You can use them. And that's what I did all night. You know, as I was standing there, people were trying to come in and hug me. I'm like, hard stop. Nope, back the fuck off.
No, it was so funny. I don't know if you remember this, but at one point, so we had a sink behind the bar that actually became kind of like a catch-all for, you know, additional...
My tip bucket goes in there.
Yeah, additional bottles, you know, different things that we need because we have other sinks behind the bar. But it's the biggest, most convenient sink.
Uh-huh.
So we cleared it out so that we could all wash our hands. Tom comes behind the bar, takes at least sang a song, probably Happy Birthday. I sing a little bit of Alexis.
But, I did actually. I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor.
And that's great. But so he washed his hands, everything, walks out behind the bar, and this guy walks up to you and literally puts his hand out to shake it, and you stop in place, and you're like, fuck, and you shook his hand.
And so, of course, I had to go around and, you know, do it. Looks like we lost connection over here anyway, but we'll figure that out later. And so I just continued, I went and grabbed one of those wipes and I just started to mess with it. And I was just like, hard stop. I know why this disconnected, Nick. Can you go plug that thing in?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hold on.
But go ahead. Anyway. And so I ended up grabbing, no, it's loose over here. I never plugged it in. It's on the top. Right over here. You see it? You see that little, yaha? Plug that right in the back of that camera and there goes the live stream. Oh, well, could be worse. Yeah, you're probably going to have to push the button too. And so, but yeah, it's like I grabbed one of those sheets and I just started just like, you know, just going through it. And just, you're probably going to end up having to go over there and push the button again, but you know, we'll figure it out.
It's fine.
And yeah, it was pretty crazy. So we're just going to, you know, deal with it. It's not easy, right? It's not. So I've always read about pandemics and you think about, you know, the Spanish fever in the 1920s and you think about, you know, the Black Plague that you learn in history and, you know, all of these other things that happen and you never think about it in the sense of you going through it, right? It's history. It's never going to happen. We have vaccines and, you know, and then, but you think about SARS and you think about, all these other, like, you know, bird flu and H1N1 and all of these things, like, while they were pretty crazy, it wasn't something that impacted us the way this particular thing has. It's got the markets crashing, businesses closing, states shutting down schools. It's got, you know, it's really impactful. And to be in the midst of all of this, it's pretty incredible to see.
So, you know, I don't want to talk about this the whole time, but I watched a video today about what the coronavirus actually is. And supposedly it's pretty much the same thing as like a bird flu, but it's never been like this specific one had never been identified before, but it is basically a form of a flu. But the problem with this one is that they've never seen it before and they don't know how to work with it. So it's just different. And like, we just have to like wash our hands and not touch our face, which is so hard.
That's important. And that's exactly, it's so hard, especially for gay men. We're always, you know, making sure our lips are well oiled or greased or whatever you want to call it and all that good stuff. And it just gets really, really annoying.
I like have to scrub my hands to bang out my face every morning.
Mm.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, and that's a lot of beating. A very, very, very hard beating. But, yeah. So, we're here.
Yeah.
So, that's enough about Corona. Mm-hmm. Next week, maybe I'll wear a crown, because that's what Corona means in Spanish. Or crown, Corona, crown, see the crown, be the crown. All that good stuff. Yeah. So, we've got two stories that we wanted to cover. I think they're very important to talk about. Before we move into our break at some point, and then of course bring our guest during the second half. So I'm gonna kick it over to Trish.
I'll let you do
the honors and tell us what you've got lined up for us.
All right, so this is actually kind of cool. So we talk about the history of homosexuality on the show all the time. Mm-hmm. We talk about it in the framework almost like, why isn't this taught in schools? There is so much history. Kids should know they're not alone. people should be taught this so they know that it is normal. You know, the word, the concept of normal is needs to dissipate. Anyway, so there is this beautiful, beautiful homo historian, and his name is Dr. Eric Cervini. And he is an authority on pretty much gay activism and gay history. And what he's done is pretty awesome. He actually has taken his Instagram and he's made it into kind of like, what do you want to know? Was Hamilton, was Alexander Hamilton gay? Who invented homosexuality? Like, he's done a lot. And so if you go through, there's all these different like 1 minute videos.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. And you get to learn a lot about homosexuality and history, but also what's really cool is he actually created and founded Q, which I didn't even know about. Q is a new queer app to help prevent the LGBTQ community from splintering, so keep us all together. It's a gender,
and that's very hard to do.
Yeah, it's a gender inclusive social networking app. So it's like it's like Facebook for the queer community. I have yet to download it, so I'm saying that. In like when I say Facebook, I mean it's a social networking platform.
Until you log in and then you start talking about, you know, the differences within the community and of course politics, and then we no longer have United Community. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But we'll download it and take a look at it and see how it works out.
Now, this article that I'm reading is from 2015. So this app either failed or took off. I have not looked at it.
Sure,
but
we can find out now. What's the name of the app, girl?
Q.
Q. Q. But, like the letter Q? Or?
Yeah, like the letter Q. Let's but see. The article that I'm talking about with the gay history, this is from March 7th of 2020. Thanks, Mama Kim. But it's really, really kind of cool. This series, he is entitled Magic Closet, and it's 1 minute videos, including like Michelangelo's sexuality. I'm going to say this wrong. Ishtar, which was a goddess, both male and female. But it's really, really cool. He has a podcast with two episodes, I believe. It's called The Deviant's World. So check that out.
I love that. The title.
Right?
The Deviant's World.
Yeah.
We're such deviants.
I also like the title of his like 1 minute series called The Magic Closet. Magic Closet.
Of course.
Right? I know. But also really cool, he's writing a book. And the book is going to be called The Deviant's War.
So, when are you going to book him?
Yes. Okay. I will reach out to him. I've already thought about it, but like, okay, I would love to have him on the show. But you have got to go check out his Instagram. We'll post his social media links on
tonight's post.
But it's really, really cool.
That's awesome. And so,
and
by
he's
the way,
gorgeous too. So there are some photos of him mixed in there, and you're like, oh, okay, hello. Mm-hmm.
That little curly hair, nice and dark. He's kind of olive skin. He's cute. So the Q app is I couldn't find it.
All right. Well, he's my demographic, so
It works. Fantastic. So I'm going to go and we're going to go all the way across the pond to the other side of the globe. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cute. I don't know if you guys know, you can't see that. See, this is the kind of stuff you need to tell me so that I can put it up there.
Yeah, I know. Right? I didn't even think about it. Ugh. But like here, like I'm just going to give you, before we move on, was Lincoln gay? Gay cowboys, the deviant's world, the drag king hero, was Hamilton gay? Washington versus gays, ?
There was definitely gay.
America's first gay hero. Oh my God. It's just like, these are really awesome things and people should check it out. I've already followed him.
Of course you did.
And his...
I wouldn't expect anything less from you.
His handle is... Eric Cervini. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. Check him out.
Unique name.
Mm-hmm.
Go get him. All right. So, like I said, we're jumping all the way across the pond to London. This particular story was published on March 10th, 2020. It was by a reporter named Michelle Roberts. She is the health editor for BBC News Online. And according to her... And it says here that the second patient ever was cured of HIV, which is what the doctors are stating. They say the man from London has become the second person in the world to be cured of HIV. His name is Adam Castillejo. Hopefully I said that right. But is still free of the virus more than 30 months after stopping antiretroviral therapy. He was not cured by the HIV drugs, however, but by the stem cell treatment received for a cancer that he was also fighting.
Wow.
And so, like, you think about stem cell research, right? And you think about how governments, and especially ours, at one point in time was very anti-stem cell research, especially around the Bush administration, the Bush Jr., not the senior, right before Obama. And Obama invested heavily in stem cell research. But there's so much to be learned from this medium. But according to this, as a result of his treatment for cancer, he was actually able to be cured. So there is potential to find some sort of way to make this possible, to finally get to a point in where we either have a cure or where we can finally say that we are at a point in time where HIV will be part of history. And it's huge.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I wonder how it all works, right? Because stem cells, they're basically like you're regrowing something in your body or like replenishing something in your body. So in my head, I can think like he had a zero viral load and the stem cells replenished his white blood cells. And that was the, you know, old white blood cells probably died away.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned that because the story also says that the donor of the stem cells has an uncommon gene that gives them, and now Mr. Castillejo, protection against HIV. In 2011, Timothy Brown, the Berlin patient, became the first person reported as cured of HIV. 3.5 years later, we now have a similar treatment. So it's promising. And, you know, when you hear the word stem cell, it makes you think about, you know, manipulation and I just think that, you know what, we have to explore every avenue, every opportunity to come up with something that is going to be as revolutionary as PrEP is, for example, in preventing the transmission of HIV. And
100%. I mean, like, this is kind of off topic, but the same concept. My dad doesn't have HIV, but he has a neurological disease because when he was younger, he had cancer. And back then, they couldn't target radiation, so there were a lot more side effects. And right now, his white blood cells in his body can't identify his nerves as beneficial. They identify it as a foreign.
And so it attacks the nerves.
Right. And so it's killing his nerves. So now he has to take medicine that puts it at bay.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, like, heal him by any means. But stem cell research could.
Yeah. And
he knows that. And doctors have said that.
And I say, you know, and unfortunately with the administration that we currently have in place, it's not one that's favorable to science. We've already seen that in the reaction to, for example, how we handled the introduction of coronavirus into the whole, you mm-hmm. know, U.S. lifestyle, if you want to call it that. I mean, the man really denies that signs even exist. And so until we get someone that really shows respect for science, I don't think that this is something that we're going to see, you know, have much weight in the U.S. until we have someone that's there that will back it, right? Mm-hmm. You need federal backing. You need the public invested in this type of procedures so that we could potentially find something that's going to work not only for people affected here in the U.S., but all over the world.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I think it's incredible.
It really is. I mean, the fact that he's quote-unquote cured is like, it's crazy to me. I think in general.
And to think about, right, because I was born in an age or an era in where growing up, you learn to associate HIV with death, right? It was a death sentence immediately. And as we go through the decades, we start seeing medication, retroviral medication, PrEP, and things like that, that have allowed for people to actually be undetectable, which means that you can't transmit the disease to others. And it's been a very, very long ride, mm-hmm. but it's time. It's time that we invest a lot of money, a lot of time and professionalism into finding a cure for something that has devastated this world for well over 30 plus years. And it's time. And I think that, you know, thinking outside of the box, like something with like stem cell research could be a way for us to get there.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, so listen, it's been an amazing conversation for the first half of this show, but we do have a guest that we're going to bring on with us. So we're going to take a break. We'll leave you with some music. And when we come back, David Martin joins us. Here we go.
Greeted by a new sunrise. Tomorrow's hopes are in my eyes. Paint horizons in the sky that's meant for me, meant for me. Ready now to face the day. Done with fears of yesterday. Waited long enough to say I'm on the way. I'm on the way. I believe.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back from the break. That was Believe by Going Deeper, featuring Davis Mallory, a previous guest.
How
of
deep?
Ours. Deeper. Okay. Deeper. These DJ names like really get me crazy, right? Because it's like Going Deeper. I'm like, how deep do you want to go?
Tell me about it.
Hopefully deep enough. But anyway, welcome back from the welcome back from the break. And joining us now, of course, is our guest for the evening. David Martin is going to join us. He's going to be talking about all of his amazing achievements and, of course, some of the healthy things that he's been doing. And
I feel like he's already nervous.
He shouldn't be. Hi, David. Welcome to the show.
I just think I came in at an interesting conversation talking about deeper. It's just what a great segue.
Deeper and deeper and deeper. So, sorry, I had you muted and I just unmuted you. So, David, once again, welcome to the show and thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Never again. Anyway, it's good to see you.
Never again.
So, all right. So let's kick this off. So why don't we start by telling, by allowing you to tell us who you are, tell us a little bit about you, and then we're going to jump into our conversation about everything that you're, the amazing things that you're doing and all of your great accomplishments.
Oh, sure. Okay. So, I'm a triathlete, so I'm an elite amateur triathlete, two-time All-American, and two-time Team USA. So I just competed at the World Championship this past year in Lausanne, Switzerland, which was amazing. We swam in Lake Geneva, and it was right under the Swiss Alps. It couldn't have been any more beautiful. I've been doing that maybe 5 to 7 years now, more competitively for about 4 to 5 years. So that's a big part of who I am. But then I'm also getting my master's degree in exercise science at Southern Connecticut State University. And I was doing my research thesis in creatine supplementation for endurance athletes, but we have now postponed all research and everything else at the university, so that now has been canceled. But that's been interesting up to this point. And then besides that, I just got accepted to a fully funded PhD program up at University of Connecticut with an incredible professor, Dr. Douglas Casa. He's one of the world's experts in heat-related illness and hydration, and he works at this institute up at UConn called the Corey Stringer Institute. Corey Stringer was a defensive lineman for the Minnesota Vikings who passed away from heat stroke. So the institute was named after him, and they do a lot of research with the military, with athletes, with laborers. So I'll be starting up there in June, granted that I graduate on time. And that's a good intro, I think, right?
Totally. So well, wait, what does that mean? Everything is on pause. What does
and
that
this
mean?
This is
for
David
you?
In the background, by the way, people that are watching us on live.
I know.
Stream.
Yeah, he's back. He's like he's an Adonis. We know. All right. So wait, what does it mean for you though? Like everything's paused. Have you heard anything from the university about your degree, about what's going on?
So that was all updated today. So students aren't allowed back on campus until April 5th. So all classes are online until April 5th. And it could be longer than that. Quinnipiac announced today that the rest of the semester is online, so students won't be going back at all. And then I was informed that I at first was allowed back on campus to continue my research, but a lot of my participants are coming in from New Jersey. I coach for a triathlon team that's based out of New York City at a gym called Chelsea Piers that's on the Hudson River down by like 21st and 11th, right?
We're
on the
familiar.
Hudson River.
We're familiar with
so
the Chelsea Piers.
There's a lot of people that were coming in from that facility from New Jersey, and Southern has now banned people from coming in from out of state.
Wow.
So when I was going to go today and continue my research, my thesis advisor just told me that it simply wasn't worth it anymore. So we contacted Dr. Casa, and it looks like I'm going to drop all the hard work of the last year. Everything will just be canceled. And I'll take a comprehensive exam, and it's just based on my 2 years at the university, and it's a pass-fail, and after that I can start my PhD program up at UConn. Because that was the worry, is that starting my PhD program was dependent on me completing this research. So now that the research was postponed, you know, I wasn't going to be able to start my PhD. So they said, let's not mess around. Let's just get you a comprehensive exam. Let's just get you your degree so you can come up here to UConn and start your PhD.
Well, I mean, that's good. But weren't you doing research earlier today? Or was that yesterday on your Instagram?
No. So I posted a video on Instagram of the last person I had in my heat chamber. So I made this heat chamber out of materials from Home Depot, pretty much. I got a 10 by 10 canopy tent. I got walls. I got tarps. I got heaters, humidifiers. Because that was my research, was I was testing to see if this supplement that people could ingest would keep them cool in hot conditions. So I was having people exercise in the heat, and then I was having them take this supplement called creatine for a week. Which is actually a natural supplement. Your body synthesizes creatine in your liver, pancreas. You actually eat creatine when you eat red meat, salmon. So I was having them take an excess of this creatine for a week, and then they were supposed to come back to the laboratory a week later and exercise in the heat, and I was supposed to monitor their core temperature, heart rate, gas exchange, so oxygen, carbon dioxide, and that video was from a week ago, and it was just the last participant that was able to exercise in the heat before I had to pull the plug today.
So how critical is something like this for athletes and people who push themselves and their endurance to the limits? How critical would this research be, should it be found to be successful?
Yeah, great question. Super critical. I don't think we hear about it because we're hearing more about the virus and Trump and other things in the news, but a serious amount of people suffer heat stroke and die from heat stroke every year. It's really prevalent in football, at basic training. So at different, facilities that have basic training. So for people to find out information on what their sweat rate is, so how much water they lose per hour, how much sodium they lose in their sweat, to have that information so that they can go ahead and they can race in these extreme conditions and be safe is critical. It's critical to possibly saving your life and having a really safe and in some way good experience when you're going out there and racing.
But beyond like extreme athletes, like a triathlete, what about the normal person that just goes to the gym? Like,
sure.
How could this help them, or just the normal person that doesn't go to the gym?
Because I sweat like a pig.
So I would say for a normal person that goes to the gym that this is not applicable to them, but for a laborer, this could be very applicable. So someone who's fully hydrated, and is a firefighter and has clothes on and is going into a building could have heat stroke within 10 to 15 minutes. So it's not based off of hydration. It's simply based off of how hot your core temperature is getting. And hydration is key for blood volume. If you're dehydrated, you don't have as much blood volume as you would have if you're hydrated. So this was critical for the people that were doing the study and for people who put themselves in situations where staying hydrated is incredibly important. So they have data on their own bodies and how their bodies work in comparison to other people because we're all different. I think a really cool stat is the world record right now for the greatest sweat loss is about 3.9 liters per hour.
Oh my God.
And my sweat rate was around 2.1 liters per hour. So knowing your sweat rate versus someone else's sweat rate, so like, let's say you're going on a hike with your friends, or if you go travel to the Grand Canyon, you're doing a hike, knowing how much you sweat and how much you need to replenish can be necessary for keeping yourself safe and having a good experience.
So this research could potentially not only help athletes who are competing in extreme weather areas or places around the world with extreme weather, but this could also help our first responders who are responding to situations in extreme circumstances. So this is pretty big.
Yeah, no, I was really excited about it because creatine historically has been shown to be a supplement that's just helpful for strength and power athletes. So people who are going to the gym and just trying to lift heavy weights, or sprinters. So sprinters who run 100 meters, 60 yards, hurdlers, shot putters. So that's really a lot of what creatine's been shown to help in the past. So this was going to be a way to possibly bridge the gap and show that creatine could be helpful for hydration purposes and other areas rather than just strength and power.
Are there any negative side effects to creatine?
Good question.
Nailing it.
Woo! So there's a lot of information out there that will talk about possible negative side effects, to which don't really have any scientific credibility right now. There are some people out there that will say that creatine creates hair loss, that creatine can create kidney damage, that creatine can actually dehydrate you more than keeping you hydrated. You hydrated just meaning hydrated normally. But a lot of that research that people are grabbing that information from it's not that the research is not correct, it's that they're interpreting the information incorrectly. So right now, creatine and caffeine actually are two of the safest and best working ergogenic supplements that you can buy on the market right now that are safe, legal, and work.
Caffeine. And so you said ergogenic.
Ergogenic. So work.
Speak English to me because, you know, I don't understand exercise, as you can tell. So what does that mean? Ergogenic.
Ergogenic is work producing. So caffeine and creatine are the two true ergogenic aids, meaning that they're legal. So you're allowed to use them in the Olympics for bike races, track and field, football. You can use them for any sport situation. They're safe. So they've been proven to be safe and they actually work. Whereas some other supplements out there, like, you know, people taking a lot of B12 or a lot of vitamin C and then thinking that it's going to help them with their performance. The studies have not come out to show that they actually help improve the amount of work you can produce in your sport. Caffeine and creatine are the two true ones that have been shown to help.
Interesting.
So this is really random, but let me ask you a question. So I know of
the queen of random questions.
Yeah.
It's about the probes, Nick.
No, do you want it to be?
Not yet.
So I know people that CrossFit a lot, and they go to these competitions, but a lot of them are like partiers and drinkers, and then they have these vans that show up, and you can get like an IV drip before the competition so that you're hydrated. What do you think about that? Is that like okay?
That's a great question. So I know for triathlon, before I went to the World Championships, I was sent a big packet from WADA, the World Anti-Doping Agency, that gave me a list of what was considered a banned substance. And it gave you a timeline of whether you could do them, whether you couldn't do them, and if you did do them, how soon before the competition you had to stop. IV is a very tumultuous area. Ryan Lochte got in huge trouble for that because he did an IV injection. Don't quote me on this. It was an IV injection. It might have been B12. It might have been something like saline sodium. It might have been something super silly. But simply because it was an IV injection, he got in trouble for it. And I don't know if it was a ban for 6 months or 8 months or what the consequences were of it. But it's going to be different for every sport. So Ryan Lochte got in trouble for swimming for having this IV. But if it's acceptable and you're dehydrated or you're lacking a certain nutrient and you have an IV injection, that certainly could help. Now, in terms of alcohol consumption, there have been studies that have shown, and I've read a couple of them in particular with soccer players and binge drinking. They had these soccer players play soccer. I don't know how long it was or how rigorous it was, but then they had them binge drink afterwards. Imagine how fun of a study that would be to participate in. And they looked at protein synthesis. So they actually took muscle biopsies of the soccer players afterwards. Ooh. And they showed that protein synthesis was diminished in the athletes who binge drank after they participated in soccer. So they showed a positive correlation between a decrease in protein synthesis or like muscle growth and binge drinking. So if you're competing in CrossFit and you're drinking a lot afterwards, you might actually be decreasing the amount of protein synthesis and the amount of recovery that your body's trying to facilitate after exercising really hard.
So basically it's like you can know what you can lift the day before a competition. You get drunk, you go binge drinking, whatever. You get the saline drip the next day, go to the competition, and that's could be completely different the next day. Maybe you can't lift the way you did the day before.
Yeah, I would not suggest drinking heavily before a huge competition and just thinking that a saline drip is going to fix it. Yeah, usually with a lot of studies, they're telling you, I was part of a really rigorous study up at UConn for 7 months, and they made sure that you didn't drink 24 hours beforehand. And I will say one day I did have a couple beverages and I went in and I did not perform as well at all. So, I would not suggest drinking before something that meant a lot to you.
Oh my God, I touched you.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Just interesting because I know CrossFitters that like they're just like, oh, I'll just go to the IV van, and I'm like, what?
But I'll tell you,
I've never heard of that.
Really?
I'll tell you a funny story though. So about 7 years ago, I have one of my best friends and her husband were signed up to come to New Haven and run the Labor Day race that we do here. It's a 5K that we do in the city of New Haven every year. And they were like, oh, you should totally sign up. We're going to sign you up and you're just going to run it with us. I ran it.
Wow.
So here's awesome. The thing. So wait. So these two individuals, I'm not going to name them because, you know, just don't want to do that. But they literally practice and they did what they needed to do, and they were eating healthy for like 4 months prior to this race, and they were running and they were doing practice running, and here I am the day before the race. The race is on Monday, 7 o'clock in the morning. You got to be downtown and get it where you got to go, and you got to find like your mile mark, right? So I was like, okay, I think I can run this in 20 minutes. So I went to the 20 minute mark.
Wow, 20 minutes.
That's so great. So that's where we all went. And so the race started. And that Sunday night, I went out and started drinking. And I got hammered. And I woke up with such a hangover. And I just kept drinking water and water and water. By the time I got there, I was just like engorged. And so we started running. And my friend and I said, okay, we're going to run. Her husband was a little bit more of a professional. So he was like running ahead. And I just kept running. I just didn't stop. And I get to the finish line, and mind you, I'm dying. I am dead. Dead to the world, dead to people, dead to everyone. And now I'm looking around. I'm like, where are my friends? Because I know they got here before I did. I'm like, I think it was 26 minutes in, I made the finish line. And I'm looking for them. I'm like, they're not here. And come to find out, they finished the race after I did.
Wow, congratulations.
But the fun part about it is that when you're done, you get beer and bread for free.
Yes. Oh, that's such a great part of racing is the finish line and what you get at the end of the race.
So let me ask you, you were talking about alcohol and how that could impact your performance, but then right after a marathon, you get beer and bread. Why do they do that?
To celebrate. Who doesn't want a nice, refreshing cold beer at the end of a race?
I almost died. This fat girl almost died that day. And when I got to that finish line, they handed me the cup. I was like, are you going to drink yours? Because I want it.
That water. Did you have to pee during the race, or did you just pee on yourself like us triathletes do?
No, what? I just ran.
Hold on. What did you just say? You pee on yourself?
During a long race, if you're in it to win it, you're not stopping to go to the bathroom. You're just going to the bathroom all over yourself.
Yeah, and that's God refreshing.
Honest truth. God honest truth. Yeah, and you're just hoping that somebody's not behind you, unless you're upset at the person that's behind you because they're drafting you on the bike, which legally you're not allowed to do. So you're like, screw you. And you just let it all out right there.
Hey, listen, it's drinkable when it first comes out.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes it's drinkable, but only once or twice after it comes out.
I know, right? And especially if you're very hydrated, right? Because you don't want to drink like really yellow pee.
No. Are you from experience, Tom?
No. I'm not into the whole golden showers thing, but you know, I read a lot of things. Okay. So, and I don't want to go crazy.
This is gross.
Is this news to you?
Yes, I did not know that triathletes peed on themselves and or other people if they're
especially
pissed off.
Especially when you're in the water. That's, like if you're time. Swimming.
All the time.
So you're just comfortable peeing on yourself. That's great to know. And then you get to the end and then you have a beer sitting in your pee.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, so.
I want to bring this back to the fact that this is a gay show. And I already told you I was going to bring this up.
I was going there.
Oh, you were?
No, but go ahead.
Well, David's a friend of mine, and he's definitely gay.
Uh-huh.
Love
you.
We
go back.
Yeah.
They go way back.
I know. To a beach when I was super thin, and I miss it.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, I'm not super thin. I was fine. Anyway, so tell me, what is it like being gay and a triathlete? Have there been any hurdles for you? Have you seen any, you know, pushback or anything like that? Like, yeah, just talk a little bit about your experience.
Sure. I would actually say the complete opposite. So when I first got interested in triathlon, Nick knows the story. I was actually engaged to a woman and unhappy at the time and going through a lot. And 2 months before the wedding, I cut it off. And I then had the New York City triathlon where I went and competed and got on the West Side Highway, and it was probably one of my first major competitions with over 4,000, 5,000 people. And when I got on the bike, I started passing so many people that I got emotional, started crying. And that's really when I got hooked. And I, you know, went from this place of being depressed and sad and on medication to throwing my medication out the window, coming out to everybody and truly being comfortable with myself. And then that's when I started exploring more about the world of triathlon. And soon afterwards, I moved to New York City for a bit, and I met a triathlon group, and this is the group I currently coach for, Full Throttle Endurance out of Chelsea Piers. And what I thought was so amazing was one of the other coaches was gay and was an incredible athlete. We actually had two coaches that were gay. And one coach was one of the fastest runners we had ever had on the team for a marathon. And the other gay coach, he went to Duathlon Nationals. Now, Duathlon Nationals is run, bike, run. And he ended up being the national champion for his age group in duathlon. And that might have been the 30 to 34, 35 to 39 age group. It was somewhere in the 30s. And then, to be honest, there's 100 plus people on our team, and a large portion of them were gay. So it was incredible to find this supportive network where, Nick knows this, coming from the small town of New Milford, and, you know, I went to Catholic school. I went to Canterbury, which was a Catholic school. I was an altar boy. You know, it's very blue collar. There isn't a scene there. I really had no role models growing up. So to go from a place of isolation where I had no idea what the future held for a gay person to then walk into a group of 100 plus people where a lot of the successful athletes in our program were gay and incredibly happy and in relationships and succeeding and doing well. And that opened it up to me going to Italy and biking 300 miles with these people and opened my world to all these new experiences was like, this is crazy. It's like I'm being rewarded now for being happy and being in my community. And I find that the triathlon community is very diverse and very welcoming. One of the big pros in the world of triathlon right now, his name is Cody Beals. He performed at the World Championship in Kona, Hawaii last year. He won two overall huge races, and he is gay, and he constantly posts about he and his boyfriend up in Canada. And it's refreshing. I have to say that I've felt completely welcomed and open. And I just got a care package from USA Triathlon in the mail, and there was a big sticker with a rainbow flag on it. It said USA Triathlon with a big rainbow flag on it, and it's currently like hanging up in the office at Southern Connecticut State University. So that's awesome. That's super amazing. Inclusive, super welcoming, super warming. It's been
and it's awesome. it's also like inclusive community that you have for yourself now. It's like 100, you know, all these people that support you, not only just in being a triathlete, but being who you are.
Correct. Yeah, we support each other. And I think that's the great thing about racing together as a team. We go around the country and we race together at team championships all around the country. We were just supposed to do, we've been doing South Beach, Miami every April for the past 11 years. And we've won the team championship down there every year for the past 11 years. And 40 to 50 of us go down there. And it's not just about me, but it's about everybody and cheering each other on and celebrating our accomplishments and what we've done. And there's people of every background, ethnicity, race, sex, culture down there, and being able to support and cheer each other has been absolutely incredible. It's an awesome experience.
So just tagging on to that a little bit, you look at sports in general and you see, you know, your famous football players and all these people getting accolades. You don't really see a lot of triathletes that are being like pumped out in primetime news. And what you guys do, it's so amazing. And the fact that it's such a broad and strong community is really interesting to me. I'm wondering if you can speak to that a little bit. Why do you feel there's not, I don't feel like there's enough coverage and you know, support.
Oh, agreed.
Focus. Yeah.
Yeah, totally agree. It's not a spectator friendly sport. Because if you think about the World Championships at Hawaii, it's a 2.4-mile swim, 112 miles on the bike, and then a full marathon. You know, so who's going to sit there and watch the television for 9 to 16 hours?
That's
and insane. Watch the people go through. I think the record for that course is now just under 8 hours. It's something like 7 hours and 50 minutes. It was just broken last year by Jan Frodeno, this incredible German athlete. But there also isn't as much money in it as, let's say, football. Like, how much are people spending to go and see a football game? I didn't realize I was going to spend this. My friends bought the tickets and told me later that I was spending $200 to go see a Giants game. And if you think about the stadium and how many people are going to see a football game, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a lot of money in these spectator sports like the MLB and the NBA and NFL. Whereas in triathlon, the money is just not there. Even though it's an incredible sport and what people are doing in the sport is incredibly impressive, it's not spectator friendly. And right now they're trying to find ways to change that so that the professional triathletes can make more money and the sport can be more accessible to people who are interested in it.
So you're literally taking, so it's called a triathlon for a reason. So these are three different, like, unique exercises that people are doing, and you're doing all three of them together. Like, you have, for example, people like Ryan Lochte, or who's the other swimmer that won, like, 20,000 medals? Michael Phelps, that swim, right? You have a swimmer, and then you have someone that bikes, and you think about when someone who's running, you know, bicycle runs, like, who was the one that got caught?
Stop asking me.
in France. Oh, God. Neil? No.
Lance Armstrong? Are you thinking about bikers?
Lance Armstrong. Thank you. Yeah, and so, Lance. And so, but these are people that are specializing in specific sports, biking, swimming, running, right?
But I will tell you, Lance Armstrong actually started as a triathlete and was an incredible triathlete when he was younger, was racing on a professional level when he was 18, 19 years old, which is kind of interesting.
Right, but that's the thing. So it's putting an emphasis on the fact that you're not just doing one specific sport. You're not training for one specific sport. You're doing three.
Yeah, and you're trying to fit it into a weekly schedule, which is quite demanding. It's quite tough.
It's insane. So I have two questions for you that hopefully could give our listeners and people who may be interested in joining your community and doing triathlons is, first and foremost, what are the challenges that someone who wants to go into being a triathlon
face?
A triathlete.
I'm Latino. I think in three languages.
The Mondays.
What are the challenges that people face when they're looking at potentially going into becoming a triathlete? And then secondly, when you think about the scope of that, it's like, how would I word this without sounding stupid? So the challenges, and then if someone wanted to, then once you figure out all the challenges and you think this is something that you may want to do, how do you go about starting, and how do you go about meeting or being introduced to communities that could potentially guide you in that direction?
Oh, those are awesome questions. I think in terms of starting, it's finding either a support group, going to a local gym. A lot of gyms will have triathlon programs. There's a lot of clubs in Connecticut, even around New Haven, where you guys are. So you can always go onto Facebook, social media, reach out to a local gym that has a pool, and usually they'll have a support group, or they'll have classes, you know, or swim session in the morning where people are teaching swim. So I would say the first step is just getting out there and trying to swim, bike, and run during the week. And I think some of the obstacles can be trying to fit it into somebody's life. I mean, we all have jobs. Some of us have kids. Some of us have other huge responsibilities. Financially, it can be really expensive. I'll tell you personally that, you know, the expenses of traveling, the race registration fees, buying a bicycle for someone who wants to be competitive, those prices can be off the charts. But somebody can also just participate in a sport by borrowing their friend's bicycle and grabbing a pair of running shoes and, you know, buying a bathing suit at Sports Authority or Dick's, you know? So I would say if somebody's interested, the first step is literally just going to the gym, getting in the water, trying to swim, finding a coach or a class at the gym that teaches swimming, and then getting outside on your bicycle, and then on the weekends going for a run. So just trying to incorporate the three different sports into your schedule. And then active.com is a great way to go online and try to find different races that are happening in the area. They have sprint triathlons that are very short in distance and take usually anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half or 2 hours to complete. Again, Facebook groups or social media, social networking, you know, looking at searching hashtag triathlon or searching triathlon on Facebook or different ways to try to find different clubs or groups in your area that you can go outside and ride your bike with, which make you maybe feel more safe on the road if you're riding with other people. So reaching out to different networks and different groups.
Interesting. So one more question from me. When you're actively prepping for a race, whether that's, you know, running, swimming, how much time does this take out of your week realistically? Right? Because you have to think about, you know, if you're a parent and you want to invest in this, childcare, running, sure, swimming, bicycling, and then you have to think about how much time you have left in the rest of your day. So realistically speaking, how much time does someone really spend preparing for events like this?
Sure. Let me also add that you're spending a lot of time preparing for it, but there's something to be said about spending a lot of time also investing in yourself and in your own health. So cardiovascular exercise is incredibly important to your heart. And now they're showing an increased correlation with it also helping out with your brain and helping out with delayed onset of Alzheimer's, dementias, and cognitive-related diseases. So you're spending time doing these things, but you're also taking care of your own health so that you can therefore then take care of your family and other people too. So I think that's really important to say. How much time I spend in the sport versus how much time someone needs to spend in the sport just to be able to compete is totally different. If someone is a solid runner and they could just get on the bike once or twice a week, get outside and go for a run once or twice a week, and then swim once or twice a week, I'm sure that you could finish a sprint triathlon and feel confident. If you are looking to be competitive, I spend about 16 to 20 hours a week doing all three different sports. So this week I ran around 50 miles. And then it's usually around 100 to 150 miles on the bike, and then anywhere from 10 to 20,000 yards a week in the pool. So it really depends on what level you want to compete at. But again, I would say it's not a huge time commitment. It can be a time commitment, but it's also a time commitment that is helping you, your health, and the fact that, you know, you need to take care of yourself so you can take care of other people.
But would you say that everybody's in it for competition, or some people are just in it because they love it?
No. I mean, even on my team in New York City, there's people that just do it just to stay healthy. You know, there's something to be said about cross training. So not running every day and then getting into the pool and giving your bones and your joints a break from the impact of running is incredibly healthy. So cross training and using different muscle groups. So in the pool, using your lats, your chest muscles, your shoulders, your upper body, and then going onto a bike and activating your hamstrings, glutes, quads. People do it to stay healthy, again, to diminish the risk factors for the different diseases like cardiovascular disease or cognitive related diseases. And then competing in a race is not about trying to beat the other people in your age group. It's just about showing yourself that you've worked hard in the gym to take care of yourself and stay healthy. And now it's coming to fruition in the fact that you can actually get to the finish line of a race and enjoy yourself with an amazing group of people.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow. Yeah. All I can say is, dude, you stamina.
Stamina. It's a lot of stamina.
I'm like, give me a steak and some potatoes, and that's like my triathlon. This, and
so, yeah, a lot less like 8 hours, yeah. But or however long. But
borrow.
Not just swim, bike, run. It's swim, bike, run, eat, drink. You know. So yeah, if you can fit the steak and potatoes while you're doing it, then that's another race in itself.
He probably could. Wow.
I could probably win some of these competitions in some of these restaurants saying, try a 90-pound steak. I don't want you to finish that in 1 hour. I was like, I got this.
Oh, my God, Tom.
Like, seriously.
So I want to go back to these butt probes. What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, butt probes. Let's talk about the butt probes.
Yeah, I totally want to know what the hell you're talking about.
All right.
So in my study, I'm trying to see if creatine helps decrease core temperature and keep people cooler. So the only way I can measure their core temperature accurately while they're in the heat chamber is to use rectal thermometers.
Okay.
So you have these rectal probes and you go about 4 inches or 10 centimeters past the anal sphincter and you get a accurate reading of their core temperature. And what's super interesting is studies have shown this, that above 103 degrees Fahrenheit, that and esophageal, so up the nose and then down the esophagus, are the only two accurate ways to look at somebody's core temperature. So someone might be having heat stroke and you put a thermometer in their mouth, their ear, across their forehead, armpit, and it might give you a reading that's lower than what they're actually where they actually are. So you might not think, oh, I don't need to put them in an ice bath, they're fine. Whereas their real core temperature is actually much higher. So if you don't get them in an ice bath immediately, they might die or they might have some bad symptoms from what they're going through.
So in other words, this is not a butt plug you're going to enjoy.
Yeah.
So I'm using a rectal probe with everybody while they're exercising in the heat for an hour and a half just to make sure that they're safe and they're not going above a certain core temperature, or else I'd have to like pull them out of the study and start active cooling and make sure that they're safe.
And everybody was okay with you just putting these things up their butts?
You know what? It's super. I'm not personally putting it up their butts. They did ask me. I'll tell you, this is really funny. I went to pick up the probes from the athletic trainer and she points over at this box and she goes, do you need the plastic butt? And I looked at her and I was like,
what?
Excuse me? So they have this big plastic butt that students can practice on in inserting the probe.
No practice needed with her. Trust me.
I can't.
And I said, no, I don't need the plastic butt, and put that away. But some people, when I talk to them about the probe, they'll be like, okay. And then they go in the other room, put it in. And then other people are like, hang on, can we talk about this a little further? You know, like, I'm not sure about this. And then I show it to them. And most of the time, I would have to say all the time, everyone was just like, okay, walk into the other room and they do it. It's not intimidating.
So this reminds me of a funny story, which
of course
is, I'm going to talk about it. It has nothing to do with working out, but it does have something to do with putting things in your butt. So the first time I ever used an enema, okay, I was so nervous. I was, you know, I was constipated. I was super stressed out. It was my senior year. I like was just like my body was like crazy. And I was so constipated. And they were like, just try an enema. And I had never done one before. Mm. And my roommate at the time, her name was Jen. And I was like, can you just sit outside the bathroom? Because I was so like, I didn't know what to do.
Just in case I pass out.
I had never like squeezed anything up my. Well, I had, but not me. Anyway, so this all happened. And then at one point, she's like, Nick, are you okay? Do you want me to come in and do it for you? I was like, no, I'm fine. I got it. So that's my story about my first time with an enema.
That's not senior in high school at New Milford High School, is it?
No. I was in college. I did come out super young, but no, I did not use an enema until I was in college.
Lord have mercy. All right. Well, listen, my friend, it's been very, very interesting to learn a little bit about what you do every day. It sounds like it's very involved, but it's also very fulfilling for you from what I gather. And if someone has the drive to do a triathlete, it is something that, you know, based on from what I hear from you, very fulfilling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, I think the community is absolutely amazing. The feeling of people yelling and screaming and cheering as you're going through the race is incredible. I mean, that idea of support and that network is what draws me to the sport and why I continue with it. So if people are interested, they, again, can, like I said, reach out to local gyms, local groups, Facebook groups. They're more than welcome to DM me on my Instagram account, which is Endurance Dave. And I'd be very happy to try to hook them up with a triathlon team in their area, whether it's Boston, New York, Connecticut. I know groups all over the place. But yeah, totally fulfilling, totally worth it.
Endurance Dave.
Endurance Dave.
That leaves so much to the imagination.
Oh, we just went that way, did we?
This is a gay show.
Yeah. So
we'll talk about butts and sex.
So before we go, tell everyone where they can find you on social media. Should they want to? We already know that Instagram is Endurance Dave.
So
catchy. I love it.
Thank you. Actually, one of my classmates in my master's program just started calling me Endurance Dave out of nowhere. And I thought, you know what? That actually sounds pretty good. So I also have a website, endurancedave.com.
Of course.
And I'm not as great about posting blogs and updates on there just because of everything that was going on with my master's thesis. But you can find ways to contact me on endurancedave.com. But then DMing me on Instagram on Endurance Dave is another great way to get in touch with me.
And just to make sure our listeners understand, this is not a porn site. EnduranceDave.com is where you can go to get information on triathletes and information on your research and things like that. But you can also visit him on Instagram and all of the other places that you may have that people could find you and ask you if they're interested in becoming a triathlete.
Yes, or just interested in swim, bike, run, fitness, nutrition, health overall. Be happy to try to point everyone in the right direction.
That's awesome.
Awesome.
Well, listen, Dave, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your evening to join us. You were supposed to be in studio, but we understand, Corona is happening. This is real. This is the new reality that we have to live within. And so we definitely understand, but we're super excited and thankful that you joined us anyway, even from the other side of the state.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm excited that you had me on. I've been talking about this with Nick for a long time. So it's cool to actually be on here and chat with you guys.
And when all of this blows over,
we'll have you in studio.
You're more than welcome to come join us in studio, sit with us, and, we'll go over whatever else is going on in the world at that point in time.
Fantastic. Maybe we'll do a little run beforehand. How about that?
Lord have mercy.
Yeah. Or a bike ride. Come on.
Okay, fine. I'll do a bike ride.
He's nasty.
Or how about getting in the pool, Nick? We can get in the pool. We'll get in our Speedos. Come on.
I'll get on the bike if you hang the steak in the front.
Stop it. Stop it.
You like it medium rare?
Oh, my honey, God. Do I? I want it bleeding, mooing, with a lot of sauce.
And we're taking it there. Also, I don't have a Speedo, so there's that.
I'll give you one.
Well, Dave, once again, thank you for joining us. And like I said, you're here now. You're part of our
Gay Talk family.
Sisterhood and the Gay Talk family. And you're stuck with us now. So you're more than welcome to come and join us in studio whenever you want.
Fantastic. That sounds great. Well, thank you for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
See you soon, babe.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, ladies and gents, of course, that was Dave Martin. We're going to have all of his information for all of you available on tonight's post so that you guys can see and just experience what this man is doing with his life. Like, we're friends on Facebook, and I know that you are as well. And
he's actually come to a live show of ours.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Was it?
I think it was at...
At Partners?
Yeah.
Oh. Which by the way, we need to get back to that. We need to...
when the bars open again.
Yeah, when the bars finally open again. Go back out into our communities and have these conversations and bring everyone in. So that's always super fun. All right, well, listen, we need to sort of kind of bring it home.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
So I'm going to throw it over to you because you've got to give us our amazing, segment that we do every week for our dear beloved mama.
Mm-hmm. Quick PSA, though.
Uh-huh.
I just want to, say out loud, if like all of these nonprofit entertainment centers and theaters are closing, I clearly work for one, and I know this is a hard time and a weird time, but if you have tickets to a theater, instead of looking for a refund, rebook, for next year or a later show. Time, mm-hmm. or donate the ticket money that you had already spent, because all of that money that these theaters and these venues are losing, it's really going to affect their bottom line. It's going to affect everybody that works there, and it's going to affect the entertainment industry as a whole. So just think if that's something that you are capable of doing, maybe that's something that you could do in a small way to support nonprofits and the entertainment industry right now.
And not only that, you know, since we're there, also restaurants, you know, for example, the Tri-State area announced that they would be closing restaurants and bars and things like that. At 8 p.m. starting today, mm-hmm. so in about another half hour on the Eastern Coast, you know, restaurants are no longer going to be able to have patrons come into the restaurant, but they're still offering, you know, either delivery services or pickup services. And so if you could, you know, there are a lot of people that are counting. If you are already someone that constantly goes out and likes to enjoy a really good meal, think about being able to actually still go get that meal and enjoy it at home, mm-hmm. To support that community. It's very important.
100%.
One more thing. Also to mitigate or to reduce the risk of, you know, receiving contaminated items in your hand, like cash. Cash is one of, when you think of the US dollar or 20s or 5s or whatever it is one of the dirtiest, you know, items that you could ever hold in your hand. Consider signing up for, you know, either Apple Pay or Android Pay or whatever paying services that your smartphones will allow you to do, because then you can do contactless payment. And of course, also, you know, avoid having to subject yourself to the possibility of exposing yourself to coronavirus, mm-hmm. or any other germs, illnesses that may exist out there. So also a good thing to remember.
Yeah. All right. We ready?
And stop hoarding fucking toilet paper. Seriously, get a fucking bidet.
My mom said that she thinks the virus is actually coming from chicken and toilet paper. So,
oh, Lord have mercy.
Because they can't get it anywhere. All right, everybody. So it's that time again. Mama Kim's Minute, everybody. So are you going to time me, or am I just going to go into it? I jumping?
But who is it brought to you by?
Well, you're not even timing me yet.
All right. Well, hold on. Oh, God. Here we go. And timer and stopwatch. Go.
All right, everybody. Here's Mama Kim's Minute, brought to you, of course, by GayRealEstate.com. And actually, Mama Kim's Minute is not brought to you by GayRealEstate.com.
It's brought to you
by... It's only Gay Talk Term and On This Day in Gay History, yeah, but Mama Kim is actually brought to you by Pocket Pride, which
Pocket,
we can talk...
Wait. Pocket Pride Plus. I'm going to talk about that.
There you go. All right. Number one, an amazing dad needed a good swimsuit for his trans daughter. So what did he do? He invented one. Mm. Number two, I see this woman every day. I don't know who she is, but I know she loves me. Number three, Canada may soon have the world's first most progressive and comprehensive conversion therapy plan.
They also closed their borders today. But go ahead.
Number four, alleged murder of a transgender woman renews Nothing. Concern over transphobia in Puerto Rico.
That's right.
So yeah, that's Alexa. Your Mama Kim's Minute.
Alexa.
And that was almost right. A minute.
That's right. Stop. You got it. All right. So, okay. So why don't we go into our Gay Talk Term for this evening?
Yeah, of course. So your Gay Talk Term, of course, brought to you by GayRealEstate.com.
Really?
Is competition. I thought this would be a good one. Yeah, we had a triathlete on the show. Uh-huh. So it's very different, but competition. It's rival in romance, one who represents a threat. I'm not one to dish, but your best friend is also your best competition.
So that's like when you and I are in a room together, right?
Yeah, well, me and everybody, I'm pretty much a jealous bitch.
Yeah,
she's
extra. All right, but we love her. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, on this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by...
GayRealEstate.com.
By the third time, really? All right, so it was when? It was in March 16th, 1954. It was in the U.S. of Hay.
Hey.
Okay, the hearing, let's see. So it was Army McCarthy hearing convened. The hearing includes inquiries into the supposed security risk posed by a homosexuals employed by the federal government, and includes instances of gay baiting by special counsel for the Army Joseph Welch. Notably, Welch defines a pixie as being a close relative of a fairy. Welch's remark is interpreted as a jibe at Roy Khan, a closeted homosexual. So, just wanted to break that down a little bit. So, because I needed to understand all of that in my head.
He didn't read it before he started reading it.
Correct. So, basically, what ends up happening is that, you know, you've got this major case back in 1954, March 16th. There's a lot of discussions going on about the logistics of the case, but it's determined that there's someone who is a closeted gay person, and the special prosecutor is sitting here making all of these homophobic remarks to, you know, really out this person and just be a dick about it. That's basically what it's all about.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right? Nailed it?
Yeah.
All right. See, I should have just said it my own way. But then again,
here we go.
History. All right. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you love our show, make sure that you go to your favorite device or website or wherever you go to listen to your podcasting and subscribe, rate, and review our show. Doing so would allow you to get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device as soon as our episodes are published. And you can also support us on Patreon. Many, many thanks to our Patreon subscribers. Thank you for what you do. Doing so would allow you or anyone to donate to the show. Those donations can be in any denomination of a dollar or more, and we collect those on a monthly basis. And again, thank you all. Nick?
Next week, we welcome back Chris, and it's all about the dish.
That's right.
And also, thank you to our guest, David Martin, for joining us on today's show. One of my good friends, and what an inspiration and amazing guy.
Yeah, he is.
We will put all of his social media links on our post tonight. And awesome. Don't forget, everybody, get your discount for Future Method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas,
I love this.
Delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first time, one of its kind, doctor-developed formula that gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use gay... You can use code GAY TALK. I was so close. You can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off a valid purchase for one person or one subscription.
And it's worth noting that this is not one of those butt probes we were talking about earlier. This is something that's amazing. And potentially they could probably even use this or incorporate it into that process to then, you know, shove it up there. That's amazing.
All right. Well,
be nice and squeaky clean.
Since Elsie's not here, should we put a rubber on this?
Yes. No dental dams today.
Okay. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It's also available for a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio. Nick announces again, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0 at gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
I quit. Why am I even here?
All right, if you need to reach out to us.
All right, ladies and gents, if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. Click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, you can submit a question for the cast or Trish, and you can also call us and leave us a voicemail. We can answer those questions that you leave there on the air for you. That phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need the digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard. Excuse me. Every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, that is our show. Ladies and gents, y'all have a good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.